This is Hawaii Rising, a podcast from the Hawaii People's Fund. I'm Kenji Cataldo. It's just me today. In this episode, we're speaking with Trevor Atkins, Hina Kaopua Kanonigo, and La'akea Chan from Ke'ea Hawaii. Ke'ea Hawaii is an interscholastic student council composed of elected representatives from 17 Hawaiian-focused charter schools. Each year, the Hui hosts two immersive camps to equip students with leadership tools, visit sacred places, speak with constituents on campuses, hear from community leaders, identify strategic priorities, and develop action plans for the coming year. Ke'ea Hawaii is a repeat grantee, and this is our third time hearing about their work on the podcast. To learn more about the history of Ke'ea and hear from different student voices, check out our first two episodes, Episode 8, News Media for the Hawaiian Kingdom, and Episode 44, Normalizing Hawaiian Culture-Based Education. You'll find both episodes linked in the show notes of this episode. In today's interview, from the beginning of March, we hear updates about Ke'ea Hawaii's work from three different perspectives. Trevor is a kumu who advises the council, Hina is a Ke'ea alum, and La'akea is a current haumana. So today we're super excited to sit down with a few folks from Ke'ea Hawaii. We have Trevor, Hina, and La'akea. Could you all just start by introducing yourselves and sharing in what capacity you're involved with Ke'ea Hawaii?
Hello, my name is Trevor Atkins. I'm an advisor for Ke'ea Hawaii, which is an interscholastic student council.
Aloha, my name is La'akea. La'akea Chan, I am a haumana at Kekula Ho'amana o Kawaikini here on Kauai, and I am a haumana of Ke'ea Hawaii.
Aloha nui kako o kayakuhina li'i ka'upua ai manoa. I am an alumni of Halaupumana Public Charter School as well as Ke'ea Hawaii. And I'm just here in a kākou role and I just come around to kōkua Ke'ea Hawaii however I can as an alumni.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for those introductions. And so this is, I think, our third episode with Ke'ea Hawaii. And so for folks that are less familiar, they can go back to the first two and get a sense, you know, of the origin story and the history of Ke'ea Hawaii. But today, you know, we want to chat and hear about some updates since the last time we talked. What's new at Ke'ea Hawaii?
It's been an exciting year. We got a little bit of additional funding through Native Voices Rising, which is grant funding through Native Americans in Philanthropy. And that's allowed us to, I think, really leverage the dollars from Hawaii People's Fund and do a lot more activities. And so we did a whole bunch of new stuff this year, as well as, you know, kept up with some of our old things. And I think maybe it'd be best for La'akea and perhaps Hina to share the events that they attended. And then I can add in after that.
You know, so this year was a very special year, I feel, for Ke'ea Hawaii and our Lahui Hawaii. Ke'ea Hawaii usually, I don't know, this is my first year in Ke'ea Hawaii, but we started off with kind of a ho'olauna with all the haumana on Makamoku Puni o Hawaii, and just a time for us to bond and get to know each other and like where we come from and share our ike. It's also time for us to plan the school year ahead and the things that Ke'ea Hawaii wanted to be a part of. And one of those projects was October 21st at Ale Koko, which was a huge event on Kauai. It was to rebuild the kuapā, and that event was called Kuana Kapaya. Over 2,000 people came to support us, and it was such an awesome thing to see, and it was so special that Ke'ea Hawaii got to be a part of it. It was a big deal for us Kauai people, because leading up to it, my kula would work there a lot. Like every week we would be there, we will sort out rocks and yeah, to see my hua from other mokupunis be like in support of it is just like so ono for my na'au. We also did an event for La Ku'oko'a at Kanuaka'aina. And that was super awesome. Different people from the community showed up and different kulas from around our pai'aina came. And it was just like a day of celebration, our day of celebrating our lahui. And also there were workshops so you could learn more about, you know, Timoteo's huaka'i, and you could also learn about what's going on nowadays, like with Malia and Hokulani, what their positions are in government, and just like how our lahui is just moving forward. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad that you guys got to do that huaka'i to Moko Keawe early on. I remember doing that when I was in Ke'e Hawaii, and that was like a super critical pilina, like bonding moment for all of the reps from different kula. And a lot of the friends that I have now are friends that I made in Ke'e Hawaii from like Hawaii Island, from Kauai and stuff. So I'm really happy to hear that. but yeah, I also got the opportunity to attend the Ale Koko, Lahana, or Kuana Kapaya, but it was kind of in a different capacity. But, you know, seeing Ke'e Hawaii there, always seeing Ke'e Hawaii anywhere always makes me really happy and stoked to know that this hana is still going on. Recently, for me, I got to attend the Ka'o'ahu Makahiki that Ke'e Hawaii helped to plan and operate. It was really awesome. I've been to a lot of the Ka'o'ahu Makuhikis in the past couple years, and just getting to watch it steadily grow and grow, and more kula come, and kids just get excited about it. It's all really powerful. I think this year we had not just the kula ho'amana, but we had kula kaiapuni, we had regular like DOE schools, Wai'anae High School came, Nanahuli High School came. We also had Kamehameha and St. Louis. So getting all of these like Kanaka, these Opio together, just from different kula and different backgrounds, just like seeing them come together and play and just have fun. And it was clear that a lot of them knew each other, even though some were from Kamehameha, some were from Nanakuli. Like they knew each other from outside of kula, and it was just really awesome to get to see them interact with each other like that and celebrate Makahiki and do all of their protocol and, you know, just follow in the footsteps of their kupuna. It was really awesome. And I think Ke'e Hawaii did an amazing job planning that event.
I do want to highlight, maybe this will be the first, if you're listening to this podcast nice and early, right when it comes out, you might be the first to hear. We are working with Ka Moloka'i Makahiki, who inspired this event, in addition to Kawaimea Makahiki, who also inspired this event. And the long-term vision was for us to bring the O'ahu champs to the Moloka'i Makahiki. And so as long as the participating schools are okay with moving the date next year from February back into December of 2024, that will allow us to identify our O'ahu champions and hopefully send them to Moloka'i to sort of represent their entire island as the high school and middle school Kanhen Wahine champs. And meanwhile, of course, Ke'e Hawaii is not just focusing on O'ahu, but we are also trying to help put energy into Kamoko Ke'awe Makahiki, which, you know, went to sleep during the pandemic and is working on reemergence. And then also we're hoping to build momentum towards a similar event on Kauai when Kauai is ready for it. So we're excited for, you know, a Makahiki like world championship on Molokai with all the true champions of the different islands. I think we're all excited for that. And with that comes, I think, like I was talking to one of the organizers for Kamolaka'i Makahiki, and we were remarking that, you know, the ceremony of Makahiki is certainly more important than the games, but sometimes it's the games that are the palu, that are the bait to get a critical mass of community involved in the event, and then the aha follows. And we're seeing this because at Ka'oahu Makahiki, our ceremony sort of burst into a large thing this year, where it was just like people wanted to give ho'okupu, people wanted to introduce themselves in a Hawaii way before the events even started. And so that growth is just naturally progressing as the games get more and more exciting.
Yeah, that's super exciting hearing about the growth of Makahiki, both the aha and the games throughout the islands. And I would love to hear all of your thoughts just on, you know, you've touched on this a little bit, but just talking a little bit more about the significance of Makahiki and kind of the impact that you've seen it have on people who are gathering in increasing numbers and now hopefully also going island to island.
So I'm really excited to hear that we kind of want to stretch out and kind of, you know, identify all these champions in Makahiki, like, and then bringing it to Molokai. I feel like that's super awesome. I think Makahiki is a great way to connect with other schools, or even just connect with other Poe Hawaii. And it's kind of like a way to compete with each other in a friendly way. Kanaka Hawaii are pretty competitive. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of nationalities are, but Poe Hawaii is just like really up there. It was funny because a few years back, I went to a canoe journey. Sorry, this is a little off topic, but I went to a canoe journey with a bunch of opio from Kauai. We went up to Seattle and we got to like interact with the native people, the Nisqually tribe. And basically, we're part of this journey, had to paddle the Puget Sound. And the Kanaka Hawaii were always the first ones to land because we were always like hammering and wanted to like be the first ones there. It's just like our competitiveness. So yeah, it's just like fun to like spark that, you know, have that spark and have it in each and every one of us. And then, you know, yeah, it's super awesome.
I don't know. I've had very different experiences of Makahiki throughout my life in different places. I had like privilege of going to Kanaloa to participate in the Makahiki ceremony over there. Recently, this past year, I got to participate in the Ka'ai Lelona on Molokai. So that was, I feel like they're all really different. But generally, I think Makahiki, like Lakia mentioned, is just about, or for me, it's what's really important is just bringing community together. I think from the perspective of a community organizer, it's the pilina that are created in those moments of like, you know, having fun and playing games and beating your friend and picking your friend up after you know, knock them down, and like just the whole process of Makahiki, from whether you're just doing the games to ceremony to kahele, is like really builds a sense of pilina with whoever you're with. And I think that's super critical into going into after Makahiki and into, if it's panina, going into ku season, holding those ties really close and being able to work with each other and using the pilina that you've built to kako all of the efforts that are going on outside of this, you know, sacred space. Just like for an example, I think this past Ka'ahele, like I met a bunch of people that were from Oahu, and it was really awesome to see, not from Oahu, but that live on Oahu, and it was really awesome to be able to connect with them. And now we kind of just help each other and organize in our different capacities and kakao each other however we can outside of that. But another thing that I thought was really critical that I never really experienced outside of the Molokai Makahiki that I went to this past year was like just the ceremony and the importance behind like ho'okupu, and just how far you can take it with that. Like, they, on, not just to like shameless plug Molokai Makahiki, but they have like an entire system with their whole pupu and going through the different apuan collecting. Like, they record everything and they like see what kind of ho'okupu people brought and how much of it. And I think that that's like, yeah, I thought that it was so beautiful and amazing that, you know, we can not just like accept it and go through the motions of ceremony, but we can also like take this data and look at the vaivai of all of our aina and how we can improve it moving forward. And going into the rest of the seasons of the year, like who has what and how we can kaku'o each other and what different kind, you know, aina comes up with what kind foods. So I thought that that was really cool. But yeah, obviously the makahiki has so much vaivai, but those are the things that stood out to me this past year.
Thanks for sharing, Hina. Yeah, I think we're still at a point where maybe 95% of the lahui equates makahiki with games. And like Hina said, it's so much more than that. I think it's actually a sneaky way to restore governance, but governance in a grassroots way, you know, where we govern ourselves. We need to take care of our own watersheds, our own ahupua'a, in order to produce ho'okubu that we're proud of, and competitors that we're proud of, and rather than being held accountable by a dictator or a, you know, legislative system, we're held accountable by each other. Like, if your ho'okubu is better than mine, then I need to level up, you know? So it's just this beautiful form of organic governance that comes out of just this annual assessment of ourselves, of our aina, and of our kino, of our body. Like, what can we actually do? Makahiki definitely makes me question every year, like, am I getting weaker? Can I run slower or faster this year? And so I'm trying to elevate, because in addition to bringing back the haumana competitions, we're also trying to bring back the adult competitions. So there are talks about having an adult competition on Oahu, and I think every island would welcome that. I did participate in the Keokaha adult competition. And yes, I did get thrown about 10, 12 feet by the big guys that I had to wrestle against. But I did win a couple of the skill games, you know? And so it causes you to question your own health and wellness. And then it also is just such a wonderful way to make friends, you know? I just built a house, and almost everybody that did anything to help me build my house was either on my soccer team growing up, or against me in soccer growing up. And that's such a beautiful thing, because whether we were on the same team or against each other, we're friends now. And so what a beautiful thing that, you know, instead of, or in addition to soccer, that these haumana, we had 149 athletes this year at Ka'oahu Makahiki. And those folks, whether they were on the same team or against each other, they're going to be friends for life, because, you know, when you wrestle with another man, you cannot deny how close you get. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, thank you for sharing all of those experiences and sharing about the richness and the pilina and everything that comes out of makahiki. I think now would be a good time, maybe looking forward, and if you want to share about what's coming up ahead for Ke'ea Hawaii.
Hina, maybe you could start with some just kind of context of like why we care about legislative stuff or whatever you want to share about the event, and then I'll fill in.
I think Hawaiians working in the legislature and working through the legislative system is such a nuanced issue. But I just wanted to share something, like a little piece that Auntie Puni Jackson shared with me when I was going through my... just like kanalua about working at the legislature and being a Hawaiian and trying to, you know, regain independence for our people, but working in these systems, was there's this Filipino dessert and you have to steam it from the top and the bottom. And the only way that it works is when you get pressure from both sides and steam coming in from both areas. And it makes this like really beautiful dessert, and it's really ono. So she was just trying to reassure me that, you know, even though I might have concerns and just conflict about working in this environment, it's still giving pressure to the collective goal of AIA. And because we have people like charter school students and like young Hawaiians who are working towards this goal, that pressure, even though it's coming from a legislative perspective, is good and it's positive. And we can rest assured knowing that there's also people that are doing all the grassroots stuff and giving the pressure from underneath to reach this goal. So that was a really long and not as well an eloquent way of saying that. I think that this, although, you know, it can contradict with a lot of our perspective as Kanaka coming into the legislature, we can use this system to help move our agenda, I think. And I think that, you know, it's really critical, at the very least, for us and for our OPIO to understand what's going on. Because whether we like it or not, a lot of life-changing decisions are being made in that small building for our entire Pai Aina. And so I think it's really critical for us to be able to understand that and to expose our OPIO in a healthy way to what's going on there, so that they know how to maneuver and operate there in their communities, and if they choose to be in that building also.
Yes, so this year, next Wednesday, we are taking 102 students and 24 staff at the very least to the Capitol during session. So the date will be March 13th. There will be, I believe, a Senate floor session and a House floor session. There'll be live hearings for us to attend. And for most of these 102 students, it'll be their very first time even stepping in the building, let alone, you know, seeing testimony, giving testimony, being involved in a hearing, shaking hands with legislators, and so on. And so Ke Hawaii has always been interested in providing perspective on the state legislative process, in addition to cultivating our knowledge of international law and Hawaiian Kingdom law. And like Hina said, trying to make sure that students understand we need people on both sides, the top and the bottom, but also the left, the right, and the center as well. If we look at similar revolutions for oppressed countries like Hawaii, namely the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia were oppressed by Russia. And the way that they gained their independence in, I think, the late 80s and into the early 90s was not only to have grassroots militant pressure on the status quo, but also to infiltrate the government and to get people elected from within and to change the laws from within to build capacity to the final goal of EA, which is KEA's goal. And so in years past, we had brought students to the opening day of the legislature in support of Kū'i at the Capitol and sort of this just annual meetup, oftentimes accompanied by a rally in the middle of June, because the opening of the state legislature sort of coincides with the overthrow of the Hawaiian Kingdom on January 17th. And so these events would always coalesce into this big uprising in the rotunda of the state capitol. But after doing it for a decade or more, I think we realized that nobody was listening to us. They were almost starting to treat this as like excitement for the opening of their legislature, as opposed to animosity and adversity to what they were doing. I almost felt like we were too welcome, and we'll continue to put pressure there. But I think we also need to circumvent the donut passing out and the handshaking that happens on that day, and actually attend these meetings where they have to make decisions and they're accountable to the people that are sitting in the room. And so it was amazing how much support we got when we said we wanted to do this again. So last year, this event was organized by a couple of legislators as well as some community organizers. And I don't want to call anybody out in case we're too political. But this year, Ke'e Hawai'i was like, can we do that again? And can we be involved? And all of a sudden, we got support from OHA. We got support from Kamehameha Schools, who's feeding everybody that day. And we got support from most of our charter schools flying in for this. And so it's just amazing how ono everybody is to learn a little bit more about how the state legislature works and what we can do to uplift ourselves.
Yeah, that's super cool. And just getting this vision now of, you know, I mean, already seeing from Ke'e Hawai'i alums, but all of these haumana that will then enter the, you know, college and then beyond armed with that knowledge is really exciting. You know, I wonder if you could share, Hina, I'd be curious about your past experiences learning about the ledge or interacting with the ledge through Ke'e Hawai'i.
Yeah, well, Halau Kumana has participated in opening, or not an opening of legislature, a kui at the Capitol that happens to fall on the opening of legislature pretty much every year since I started attending in seventh grade in 2012. And yeah, there were different years where we got to interact with the legislators, but I think the main focus was just around our people. Or I should say that in the interaction with the legislators, it shone through how critical working with our own people is, because they don't listen and they don't care about what you have to say. At least that was the impression that I got as a young haumana. One year with Ke'e Hawai'i, we went around and talked to different legislators that represented our communities about charter school funding and equal charter school funding. And we brought them around these pies, but we cut out the percentage of the same percentage that charter schools don't get as opposed to DOE schools. So we gave them like one-fourth of a pie. Like, we walked around giving these legislators that and talking story with them. And there was like a little sheet on it that explained why we were giving them, you know, a quarter of a pie. But yeah, even in that, like I feel like it was so important. It was so creative. We thought outside of the box. We like gave a visual representation of what we're trying to say. And we had a sign that said like, he/she/they support equal charter school funding. And all of the legislators that we went to, maybe outside of Kaikahele, were like, okay, we just want the picture for our newsletter and don't put that sign near me. And, oh, so nice to see youth. Mahalo. You know, it was just very surface level. And I think our charter schools and our Kula Kaipuni have taught us better than that. And we know when people are trying to, and especially politicians are trying to talk circles around us. And so it was really evident straight from the beginning that, yeah, these people don't represent us. They represent their own self-interest. And yeah, so, I mean, it was a great experience. And I'm really thankful for Ke'e and for Halau Kumana and the charter schools for giving us that experience because it was firsthand into, you know, Hawaii politics. And it was alarming, but needed. And it shows where our priorities are and how critical working in our own communities are to put people in those positions that actually represent us and actually will speak up and do the things that we need. Yeah.
So La'a, based on that, like La'a Ke'e Chun here is an extremely involved student who seems to be a part of everything across the Lahui, from hula to aloha aina to hoi va'a. I mean, she's like a modern day paka'a in that she just wants to win at everything. So La'a, as a senior, how did your experience in Ke'e Hawai'i add to all of the skills that you already had, or how did the position, you know, sort of change or enhance your outlook?
Actually, my whole senior project was inspired from KL Hawaii and my time in Hilo. So as I mentioned earlier, kind of met with these two wahine by the name of Malia and Hokulani. And through like our pilina and how like interested I was in their position in government and what they do in Hilo and their like their impact on our government, I decided to talk to the kind of the administrators of our government. I got connected with Ellen Ching, which is the board and commissioner, boards and commission administrator on Kauai. And together we kind of like came up with this student ex officio voting position that students are able to sit on boards and commissions, kind of have a say in what goes on, but not able to vote because we're under the age of 8, you know, we're not eligible to vote. But that's kind of like where my senior project went after meeting with KL Hawaii. So yeah, it really inspired me. And I'm hoping I'm not able to sit on this board for ex officio youth voting. But I was able to like kind of put my mana'o out there, and it's coming, you know, it's actually in the process of going through like some legal stuff, and eventually the Charter Commission, who I proposed my my project to, they're very interested, and they're really working on it. I think they're like really in kakou of this ex officio student position, and they want to put it on the ballot so people can vote on it. But that's kind of my project in a nutshell. Yeah, I really want to mahalo KL Hawaii because it really inspired me to, you know, do this.
I didn't know that, and that is amazing and inspiring and exciting. Just for some context, Hoku and Malia attended our summer workshop. That's who I was referring to. And they were some of our original KL Hawaii student representatives from Nawahi Okalani Opu'u. And after graduating with degrees, they went into the Hawaii County task force after the Kilauea lava flows that covered Kapoho and you know, took a lot of homes out of Leilani Estates and the Kapoho area. There was some government money that came in, and they took up those positions and basically urged the Hawaii County government to just consider Hawaiian culture and Hawaiian language when making decisions, and ended up hosting like weekly lunch teach-ins within the county government and got the mayor's attention and got a lot of the executive's attention, so much that they decided to institutionalize it and create jobs for them within the Hawaii County government to just ho'o Hawaii what they do there. And it's amazing that while they're doing that, they're also inspiring, you know, younger folks to also create their own positions in government. I think in both examples, it's not about asking to be a part of governance, but just demanding that you be involved in it. And I think that sort of attitude is the only way that we get anything done at the legislature. So mahalo for sharing, La'a.
Yeah, mahalo for those thoughts. That's such an amazing project, La'akea. I just wanted to ask, you know, if there are any other thoughts from any of you, anything else you'd like to share?
I just wanted to share something really quick. I think I've talked about this quite a lot around the People's Fund folks, but KE'e Hawaii is what got me interested in the Hawaii People's Fund. KE'e Hawaii was my introduction to what the People's Fund does and who they fund. And so I just wanted to say mahalo to Kumu Trevor for bringing me into this space. The connections that I've made through Ke Ea Hawaii are so critical to putting me in the positions I'm in now. And one of the most like foundational programs that I've, and like Ohana, not even a program, I'd say like more like Ohana, that I've been able to be a part of throughout my life. So yeah, mahalo nui. And then yeah, mahalo Kenji for letting me be on again. Yeah, ai wale no.
I just want to, also mahalo ke Hawaii. In my time, in Ke Ea Hawaii, I learned a lot, and I built a lot of pilina. I got to, like, identify some of the kuleana that I have to, you know, awamo in my lifetime. And it's like everything is no kalahui for our people. So it's like not only thinking about us, but also thinking about, like, five generations ahead and, like, how I'm going to, like, what kind of kupuna I want to be. And just always thinking about the future and how our lahui is gonna, you know, holomua. Yeah, mahalo.
I'm gonna take us in a strange direction. I'm a young dad and I'm reading Harry Potter for the first time, and I'm discovering that there's actually quite a bit more Harry Potter fans in our lahui than I originally realized. We're on book 5, Order of the Phoenix. And Harry Potter is creating a student army. So he's a student, but he's secretly meeting with the other students to create this sort of like, he's training them on defense against the dark arts. And that's sort of exactly what we were up to when we created Ke Ea Hawaii. It was a bunch of young dads, and we definitely don't feel like the kumu. You know, we have many kumu that are generations older than us that are training us. And so we feel more like the Harry Potters that are just like turning to the people that are our age and a little bit younger and saying, hey, you know, I just learned this cool trick. Let me show it to you before, you know, the ministry or the government shuts this whole process down. And so we started doing that a decade ago. And now, like, we have people infiltrating the ministry. Like, Hina's worked inside the government, figured it all out, and now she's outside the government, like, bashing down the doors from the other end. And now La'a's getting secretly trained by other Ke'e alumni to do the very same thing. And it's you know, almost out of control, which I think is where we're trying to go. Because, you know, when we're hearing about these sorts of things and that we weren't aware of, our critical mass is finally big enough to do something. You know, we shouldn't know everybody that is up to something. And for a while, it sort of felt like, oh man, I know everybody that's trying to huli the system. But now there's people we don't even know that are trying to huli the system, and that means we're getting somewhere. Mahalo for having us, Kenji. Mahalo, Haumana, for making the time to share your stories today.
Yeah, thank you all for sharing your time today. It's really exciting and inspiring to hear about your work. Hawaii Rising is a podcast from the Hawaii People's Fund, produced by me.
And me.
With additional support from...
Mickey!
Our theme music is Revolutionary, from the band Ukla the Mock, written and sung by Mickey Hui Hui. A big thank you to our community supporters and to you, our audience, for listening.
Ahui ho!